You may be seated.
Closer to me. Yep. And a little more in front of me. A little more in front of me. Yep. So we're back in the Gospel of Matthew, and if you are really good at knowing where we ended before Easter, you'll say, well, Stuart, you're preaching out of order. And you would be correct. So the preaching team looked at what was coming up, and we decided we'd do it this way. First should come the parable of the sower, but this is how Matthew does it. Parable of the sower, this passage about parables, then an explanation about the parable of the sowers, then the parable of the weeds and something else, and then again the parable, an explanation of the parable. So what we thought we'd do is preach out of order. So those of you who like to do things decently and in order, I'm sorry. We will be decent, but we're slightly out of order because next week we're going to preach the parable and its explanation as one time. So this morning I'm just talking about what Jim read today. So I hope that is clear on our plan. Let me pray. Dear Lord, it's always a privilege to preach your word. I learn myself just tons as I prepare passages that I've looked at time and again. And your word is just so deep that I can never read a passage and think I know it all, because I don't. There's always more to see and to learn and to apply to my life. So thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So Jesus has just finished the what we call the parable of the sower, or the parable of the seeds, depends on who it is. And it says, then the disciples came to him. Now, if you read the Gospel of Mark's version, you know it's a few more people than just the disciples. It's people who are really interested in Jesus. But the disciples. Then the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Which I always found an interesting question, because they don't really understand the parables either. They hear the parable of the sower, and after we finish this passage, they come to Jesus and they say, we don't really understand the parable. So they're kind of saying, why do you speak to them in parables? What they're also saying is, because we don't understand it either. But they don't want to blame themselves for not understanding. They want to blame the people for not understanding. So why does Jesus speak in parables? Jesus has an answer. And if you have the ESV, you don't have the word because. If you have the CSB, you do. The word is actually there in the Greek. He actually says, because. Why do you speak in parables? Because to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So there's two groups. Jesus identifies two groups. First, he identifies the disciples, group one. Second group, he identifies them, because they've been preaching to the crowds, the massive crowds. And Jesus is saying, you're going to get something that they are not going to get. There's disciples. There's everybody else. The disciples have been given something that the others have not been given. The disciples have been given to know the secret, or the secrets. Mark has secret. Matthew has secrets. It's the same thing. To the kingdom of heaven. And they have been given to know. And the word know means you have to learn. It's not a brain dump. It's not once and done. You know, it's so interesting that with children, we bring them to Sunday school because we think they have to learn the Bible lessons, but we've already learned them, so we don't have to go to KLB. We don't have to go to adult ed. We don't have to do that. But the Bible is not written for children. It's a really hard book. There are passages you wouldn't never read children. The children need the Bible. Don't get me wrong. They have to have it. They need to learn the story. They need to learn as many stories as possible. But when they get old, when they're our age, they need to learn, what do those stories really mean? What are the implications for how I live life? Really important. So what is the secret? That's the question. And to answer that, we're going to go to Colossians, because the Apostle Paul knows exactly what that secret is. And this is what Paul says in Colossians 2. So he's talking to the church at Colossae, and he says, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, same word as secret in Mark or in Matthew, same exact word, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the secret in the parable that Jesus is saying, Jesus has been given the secret, it's not like a special knowledge that you have to, you know, only certain people are going to know. No, Christ is the secret. The secret is a person, and Christ has been given to the disciples. And in Christ, the secret or the mystery, in him, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to know about life? You want to try to figure out life? The answer is Christ. This is really important. Because in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not some, not only the treasures pertaining to the church or spiritual life, all the treasures of all wisdom and all knowledge. Our society does not understand this, does it? Our society is confused about so many things. Think about how confused our culture is right now. We have a Supreme Court judge who cannot define a woman. I don't know if you follow news or not, but do you know that in our society, in the news media, in the social media, people are arguing over whether or not a man can become pregnant? That wasn't a discussion 10 years ago. It is today. We're showing kindergartners drag queen shows in our public libraries. We allow biological men to compete in women's sports. And just if you want to know, I looked it up. The world record for women, there's over 100 high school boys that can beat that record. It's not fair. And run in track. It's ridiculous. We need wisdom. We need knowledge. We need to know that God created a man, God created a woman. And it's only found in Christ. All the treasures of all wisdom, of all knowledge will guide us. And if we don't know Christ and we don't get our wisdom and knowledge from Scripture and his word, then we're lost. I want to just give you a thing about being lost. Mary McLorney has an unusual condition. Others do too. It's called developmental topographical disorientation, or DTD. It means she cannot form a mental map or a mental picture of her surroundings. Consequently, unlike most people, she constantly gets lost. She has no internal compass. So here's how she describes a typical day of dealing with her DDT. I was staying at a friend's home and decided to take their dog, Otis, for a walk. As I started back, I had absolutely no idea where I was. I was only blocks from where I had started my walk, but I was lost. Fear and adrenaline passed through my veins, like if you're lost on the freeway and you're thinking, oh my gosh, although today you have GPS. But she began to sweat profusely. My surroundings looked completely unfamiliar. It was as though I'd been dropped into the middle of a foreign land. I hadn't written down the address of the home where I was staying. Walking in any direction would just be a guess. Am I getting closer or am I getting farther away? Would I have to knock on someone's door or to use their phone to call the police? And if I called the police, where would I tell them where to go? How could I expect them to return me to the place when I had no address to provide? Fortunately, Mary found someone to guide her back to her house. With DTD, there's no brain injury, no car accident, no brain tumor or stroke. People who have this condition basically get lost every day in the most familiar surroundings. Mary continues, those of us struggling with this disorder are often left with, and listen to this, feelings of anxiety, depression, isolation, and self-doubt. That's our culture now. This is our teens. Do you know how many drugs are being given to people for anxiety and depression and isolation? This describes our culture. I call it cultural disorientation, moral disorientation, spiritual disorientation. Our culture has no idea where it's at. Call it whatever you want. But people today know that they cannot see, they cannot understand. They need the secret, the mystery. They need Christ, in whom all wisdom is found. So what the parables have to do with this? That only some are going to be understand. I mean, that's what Jesus starts. He says, some are going to understand, some are not. But let's go back to that slide. Because here's why I teach in parables. To you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to everybody else, it's not been given. And you think, oh, wow, so some people get it and some won't. Sort of. I want to add one word, because you have to read the whole Gospel of Matthew. And if you read the whole Gospel of Matthew, this is the word we have, yet. To you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given yet. If we keep reading in the Gospel of Matthew, we realize something a little different. The time is not yet. It's been given to the disciples now in that time that they're with Jesus. But it will be given to everyone else, to the world, once he dies and is resurrected. Remember the Great Commission? And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. You see, when people become disciples, they receive what? The secret. They receive Christ, in whom all knowledge and wisdom are to be found.
So that's why it's so important that we create disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, oh, there's teaching. Observe all that I have commanded you. We are to make disciples so that everyone who receives Christ can know the wisdom and knowledge that can only be found in Christ. Jesus, for now, when he's talking to the disciples, before he's crucified, has to be hidden. And that's what the parables do. The parables hide Christ and the kingdom in plain sight. We call this, in theology, the messianic secret. We say, well, why does Christ have to be hidden in plain sight? Why is it all in parables? Because he still has more to accomplish. And what does he have to accomplish? He has the cross to accomplish. He has to go to the cross, take our sin on his body, crucify it, be buried, bury our sins with them, so that our sins no longer have the power over us. He needs to free us from our own sin, our own blindness, from our own confusion and our bondage to sin. And then he has to rise from the dead, which we celebrated last week, right? This has to happen first. And when that all happens, then the message will go out to everyone. And all who believe in him will come to him for knowledge and wisdom and goodness. 1 Corinthians says this. Yet, among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. No, the wisdom of the world, if all you have is the wisdom of the world, you are doomed. You are lost. You are confused. It will be anxiety. It will be pressure. It will be loneliness. All you will be left with the wisdom of this world, are feelings of anxiety, depression, isolation, and self-doubt. You'll end up going to therapists, and they will end up giving you pills. And pills will be your answer. But Paul goes on. He says this, but we impart a hidden and secret, which is Christ. Same word, secret. There it is again, which is Christ. Wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. If we have Christ, all the treasures of, has all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, is for us to follow him. Matthew continues. He says this. Say it again. For the one who has will more be given. I'll tell you why I put produce there in a minute. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And that seems like, oh, that's a little harsh, isn't it? God's going to give Stuart stuff, but he's going to take stuff away from Bonnie. Or going to give Bonnie stuff, take stuff away from me. What's going on here? Well, let's look at it in terms of the parable of the sower, because Jesus has just finished the parable of the sower. Note that Jesus doesn't say, God takes anything away. Okay? It doesn't say, for the one who has, God will take it away, or God will give. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that God will do that. In light of the parable, we begin to understand, oh, that word given is also translated in the parable of the sower as produced. So let's think about it. Some seed fell on good soil and produced grain, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Produced. It grew. it had, and more was given. But in the parable of the sower, we also realize that the seed begins to grow, but they lose it all, right? Satan is one. Seed falls on hard soil. And because people have hard hearts, Satan takes away. Oh, they've lost it. They lost even what they had. Or how about the one where it says it didn't have, there's no depth in the soil. It begins to grow because there's no depth to take root. It's gone. It's taken away. Oh, how about the thorns? People get involved with money and pleasure and their own lives, and the thorns choke it out. Oh, so now I begin to understand. For the one who has, more will be given, more will be produced. If we follow Christ, and if we invest our lives in Christ, we'll get more and more. Jesus said, I've come to give life, and to give it, what? Abundantly. That means, if Christ is in your life, what's going to happen? Christ will produce goodness in your life. More will be given. More will be produced. But if you are shallow, if you're hard, if you're more concerned about the things you can get out of life, what's going to happen? Even what you had will be taken away. You'll die. Jesus then continues. He says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Just because people can see doesn't mean that people can see Jesus. Just because people can hear doesn't mean people can understand Jesus. Just think of your non-Christian friends. Your life is probably an anomaly to them. I remember going to the YMCA one time. I was playing basketball, and a guy came up to me and said, you know, we're doing a fun drive at the YMCA, and I know you're here a lot. Could you think you could contribute to the YMCA? I said, not at this time. I said, we tithe to our church. And he goes, huh? I said, we'll give 10% of our income. And he looked at me like dumbfounded. And he said, oh, never mind. I guess because he thought it was a lot. Or how about with morality? Why do you believe in life? Why are you against abortion? To some people in our society, they just can't see it. They just don't want to hear it from you. They have eyes, they have ears, but they do not see and they do not hear. You are an enigma to people because you do have ears and you do have eyes, ears that hear and eyes that see Christ. So Jesus speaks to them in parables. If they really want to see, if you really want to see, you'll come to Christ. That's why he speaks in parables. Because if you don't understand, go to Christ. Find out. They'll have to come to him because he is the one who has all knowledge and wisdom and forgiveness and hope. Jesus continues. He quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. He says this, indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will see. He quotes Isaiah because this is an age-old problem. People who see and don't see, people who hear, but they don't hear. You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I will heal them. People who come to Christ are people that Christ helps them to see, to hear, to understand. A friend of mine, pastor, talks about some missionaries. And I love this story. How many of you know what the Jesus film is? How many? Okay, so the Jesus film has been showed by missionaries around the globe time and again, and people have really responded. So I want to tell you what he says. He says, imagine the mystery and delight of not just hearing, but seeing the story of Jesus for the first time as if you were an eyewitness. This is what happened to a tribe in the jungle of East Asia when missionaries showed the Jesus film. Not only had this people never heard of Jesus, they had never seen a motion picture. Then, on one unforgettable evening, they saw it all, the gospel in their own language, visible and real. Time and again, they saw how this good man Jesus, who healed the sick, was adored by children, held without trial, beaten, and then by jeering soldiers. They watched this, and then they became unglued. They stood up, the people that were watching, they stood up and began to shout at the cruel men on the screen, demanding that this outrage stopped. When nothing happened, they attacked the missionary showing the film. Perhaps he was responsible for this injustice. So the missionary was forced to stop the film, and then he explained, the story's not over yet. So they settled back down to the ground, holding back their emotions, check. Then came the crucifixion. Again, the people could not hold back. They began to weep and wail with such loud grief that once again, the film had to be stopped. Once again, they came for the missionary. The missionary tried to calm them, explaining that it still wasn't over. There was more. So they composed themselves once again, sat down to see what would happen next. Then came the resurrection. Pandemonium broke out again at this time, but for a different reason. The gathering had spontaneously erupted into a party. The noise now was of jubilation, and it was deafening. The people were dancing and slapping each other on the back. Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Again, the missionary shut off the projector. But this time, not to tell him to calm down and wait for what was next. All that was supposed to happen, the story was alive in their lives, was happening. They had ears to hear. They had eyes to see. Wisdom and knowledge and treasure. And then verses 34 and 35 just affirm what we've been talking about. And blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. The prophets would have loved to have been the disciples. They'd have loved to hear Jesus. They would have loved to be those people in East Asia watching the Jesus film and hearing what Jesus had to say. You are in such a privileged position. All the Old Testament, they would have loved to see and hear what you've heard. Invest yourself. And more will be given. If you don't, Even what you have will be taken away. All this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundations of the world. What's been hidden since the foundation of the world is who? Christ. Now made known to us, to you. Prophets would love to have seen what you see. So study, learn, grow. So what are some of my takeaways? First, it seems so basic. The answer to life's questions are found in Christ alone. It seems so basic. Until you listen to the news. I have people that turn off the news because it gets so disgusting sometimes. Because our culture doesn't know where to look for answers. Answers are not found in politics. Answers are not found in drugs. Answers are not found in drugs that make us less anxious. Answers are found in Christ and Christ alone. We sing a song in Christ alone. So basic, but people don't see that. People don't hear that. Two, left with feelings of anxiety, depression, isolation, and self-doubt, Christ. It's amazing, as a pastor, I have people that will come into my office and they'll be working with a therapist and studying the most goofy books about how to deal with their depression and their anxiety, mostly anxiety. People are anxious today. And what I'll do is just start reading scripture with them, talking through scripture with them. And it's amazing how Christ can resolve that anxiety and pressure, depression and loneliness and isolation. You're all here together. This is an answer to isolation, is it not? We're not isolated. We're a church family. And then finally, Matthew 28 is really a part of what I read. Who will you share Christ with this week? Think about it. Who will you share Christ with? You know, I used to go out with a bunch of guys for a morning prayer breakfast. And we began thinking, after we've been meeting several months in this place, we always had the same waitress. And we got to know her name. And then we said, you know, it was 20 years ago, so I don't remember her name right now. But we asked her, we said, can we pray for you? What do you think her response was? Anger? Disbelief? No. Oh, tears. Tears. Someone's going to pray for me? Yeah. We need to share Christ. Because if we share Christ, then they have available to them all the wisdom of the world in Him. Let us pray. We thank you, God, that the treasures of heaven are found in you. Help us not to take that for granted. Help us to have the same kind of desire that the prophets of old had, longing to see what we see, hoping to hear what we hear, and we have it. So I pray that we wouldn't squander it, like the parable of the sower. Help us to be the good soil. Help us all to go to Bible study and KLB and small groups to read the scripture. Help us to share with others so that they would become disciples, so that they could receive Christ, in whom all the wisdom and knowledge is hidden. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I lift up now some other prayer requests. Pray for our pastor search committee. They're working hard and diligently. I pray, God, that they would come upon the person that you would call to this church. I pray for our missionaries. We saw the impact of the Jesus film when shown. People were outraged and people were beyond delight at the resurrection. I pray you give our missionaries wisdom how to speak to cultures and to people who are deaf and blind to spiritual things as they are in our own culture. And so I pray for the missionaries to this area, which is everybody sitting in the congregation right now. Help us to bring that mission, that message to those we interact with every day. Lord, I pray for our D groups. They're so important, both men's and women's. Help them to be full of fellowship and learning and growth. I ask these things, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.